all of the studies had in common one basic principle, that they all randomized women in a non-blinded fashion, because it's pretty hard to blind women as to whether they're receiving an intravenous drug or not, but all randomized women to receive either trastuzumab or not. In the two large studies that were primarily done in the United States, that is the intergroup study and the NSABP study, women were essentially randomized to receive AC followed by paclitaxel, or that same regimen with trastuzumab, for the total of a year's worth of trastuzumab.
Now, the other initial study that was presented at the same time of the two U.S. studies was a trial from Europe, the HERA study. What did that do?
Well, the HERA study was done actually around the world, everywhere but the United States. And in many ways, it was a simpler design. In the HERA study, women received many different chemotherapy regimens. There was a list that was considered acceptable, but that list was essentially every chemotherapy regimen you could imagine. And once chemotherapy was done, and actually both chemotherapy and radiation, women were randomized to either receive no further therapy, a year's worth of trastuzumab given every 3 weeks, or 2 years' worth of trastuzumab given every 3 weeks. And at this point, we have no data on the two-year arm. The comparison that was presented was no trastuzumab versus 1 year of trastuzumab.
I've heard George Sledge, who ran that session at the ASCO meeting in Orlando in May 2005, talk about the fact that when the slides went up, there was kind of a gasp in the room when people looked at it. What was seen?
Well, what was seen across those studies, as well as the BCIRG study, which we can talk about later, was a fairly dramatic decrease in the risk of recurrence as a result of trastuzumab. This wasn't the typical small difference we see where sometimes we have to squint our eyes looking at the curves. This was a difference that was very, very substantial. In relative terms, about 50% of the recurrences were prevented as a result of trastuzumab. And in absolute terms, this meant that, for example, in the combined analysis from the two U.S. studies, that somewhere in the range of about 15 to 20% more women were free of cancer 5 years later as a result of having had trastuzumab. Now, of course, the exact benefit in terms of the absolute benefit is going to vary a great deal depending on what a woman's initial risk of recurrence is.
And I guess the other thing is that benefit of, you know, eliminating about half of the relapses was on top of the benefit that the women received from chemotherapy and for those half of patients who had ER-positive tumors, hormonal therapy.
So it's on top of the benefit from chemotherapy. And in addition to that, in the U.S. studies, there was the suggestion, actually more than a suggestion because it was statistically significant, of a survival advantage. And what's noteworthy about that is that I think we have to presume that in the United States, virtually every woman who didn't receive trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting on those studies went on to receive it in the metastatic setting. So what this says is not only was the drug effective, but it was more effective giving it earlier than giving it later. And I think it's also worth pointing out that I think what struck people as much as anything else was just how statistically significant these findings were. There were many, 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 many zeros in those p-values. And what that means is that there's very little question as to the validity of the results. We're not debating whether, in fact, these results are real or arose by chance. It is virtually impossible that a result like this could have arisen by chance.